All right, I've been talking my head off here. Number one, be in submission to God. Number two, get the anointing. Number three, know this, that when you go out to do God's will, that God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. Isn't it good that God is with you? Joe, isn't it good that God is with you? Yes, sir. Chris, isn't it good that God is with you, brother? Amen. Isn't it good, Dennis, that God is with you? Yes, sir. John, isn't it good that God is with you? Amen. Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? He is with us. His favor goes in front of us. His mercy goes behind us. He surrounds us with His power and glory and angels. The entire army of heaven is at His disposal to send with us so that we can go. But when we go, we need to know that we're not going alone. God is with us. Jesus was able to heal people not only because God anointed him to do so, but he had the confidence to go because he knew his Father was with him. Now, when we say that God was with him, he's not just meaning physically, geographically, you know. I'm with Leomar.
Hi, Leomar. He's with me today.
We're not just talking about, you know, they were in close proximity. We're talking about God being in a state of established favor towards you. God has set his favor upon you. He has already decreed you the winner. He is not sending you out to defeat. God never sends you out to defeat. If you are one of his walking in righteousness, God sends you out to walk in his victory. God is with you. He is on your side. He is for you. He is working all things together for your good so you can taste that victory and do what Jesus has called us to do. You can go with absolute abandon and confidence because you are not alone. God is with you. You don't have to wonder,
gee, I wonder if God is going to do something if I pray.
He said, I am with you. Pray. Pray up a storm. Pray like you never prayed before. Pray often. Pray frequently. Pray fervently. Pray passionately because I am with you. Know that in your heart of hearts when you go to put your hand on somebody and ask for God's grace. God is with you. Pray boldly. Expect big things. Man, That's important because sometimes we look in the mirror and get freaked out. We think, we look at ourselves, I'm serious, don't you do this? You look in the mirror and think, what is this pathetic thing looking back at me in that piece of glass? You know, how could God ever use someone like me? You know, we walk out in the morning, go in the bathroom, we look in the mirror and we see, you know, all these zits and baldness and imperfections and stubble. And that's just the women. Guys feel that way too, ladies. And we just think, who am I? You know, how could God use this chunk of flesh to do anything? I'm not a minister. I'm not some superman. You know, I don't have a TV program. People don't send me money. How could God use somebody so plain like me to do anything great for him? I'm just a dude. No, you are in dude. Thank you. If you have ever said that to yourself, I got good news for you today. I'm bringing this full circle. These are not my thoughts. Bill Johnson said this. This is so cool. If you've been thinking that, here's your good news. Back at the beginning, we said Jesus was in the synagogue. They handed him a scroll. He opened it to Isaiah. He said, blah, 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 blah. And at first, everybody was really impressed with that. In fact, it said that all bore witness to the gracious words that he spoke. They were like, whoa, David, do that thing. Whoa, yeah, like Heidi Baker. Whoa. All bore witness to the gracious words, and then they suddenly realized, wait a minute. Joseph's son. Who is that guy? He's nobody. In fact, in Matthew 13, 54, this is what they said. They said, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then does this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own house. These folks they were used to thinking of Jesus in human terms. They weren't thinking of him as the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a Jesus. That's Joe and Mary's kid. Yeah, my daughter used to babysit him when he was 3 years old. We changed his diaper, you know. We fed him, you know, squashed peas and all this kind of stuff. That's Joe and Mary's kid. What? You're doing what? You fulfill what? Are you kidding me? That's no Messiah. That's just Jesus, man. And he was without honor in his own country. His own people were so used to seeing him after the flesh that they could not see him as the anointed one of God. What does that have to do with you? Guess what? We do the same things to ourselves. We are so used to thinking of ourselves as nothing but a dude. Nothing but some, you know, I'm just, you know, who am I? What is this? I look in the mirror and I see so much flaw and imperfection, and I think to my God could never use me. Don't you know that you are the anointed ones of God? You are anointlings. You are little Christ. You are followers of him. As God sent him, he's sending you. Do you realize when you look in the mirror, you're not just this person that is really in badly need of a shave or some makeup or some, you know, hair or something. You are one of the anointed ones of God. Stop looking at yourself after the flesh and look at the anointing that is upon you. Look at the calling of God that is upon you and the anointing that he has put upon you. If you honor the anointing, you honor God. If you honor the anointing, you honor God. When you honor a prophet, you honor the spirit of the prophet. Jesus said, Matthew 10:41, he who receives a prophet, think about this, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Stop looking at yourself after the flesh. I know you have flaws. I know you have imperfections. I'm your pastor. I am inundated with your flaws and imperfections, and I love you passionately and deeply and with abandon because it thrills me. Because I have those and more. But stop looking at yourself after the flesh. Yes, you're not perfect, but you are called by God. You are anointed by God. You are his child, and he has set glory in your path. He has a destiny he has laid out for you from before the foundation of the world. And the only way for the world to know him is to know him through you. You have a calling and an anointing on your life. You are a prophet of God. So don't look at yourself after the flesh and ask, you know, what can God do with me? Just start thanking him that he has called you and anointed you and start saying, God, here I am. I ain't much, but you are amazing. Send me. Use me. Please don't let me miss what you've called me to do. I'll close with this. Really, truly, I'm really closing this time. Got this book. Cool book, man. We walked into the conference. Yeah, I know it's kind of hard to see from here. It says Randy Clark. That's the author. The Thrill of Victory, The Agony of Defeat. Best 52 pages I've read in a long time. It's just a little thing, man. 52 pages. I mean, you could read this in an hour. It's a cool book, number one, because it's meant to encourage people who are afraid to pray for folks. Because you're sitting there, what if I pray and nothing happens? Well, the first half of this book is The Agony of Defeat. It tells all the classic times in his life that he has prayed for people and gloriously failed. Nothing happened. he didn't use those words. It's not really failure. He actually was victorious because he, in faith, prayed for them. That's the victory. But he said, you know what? Are you afraid that people, and he lists people after people after people, heartbreaking cases of people that he prayed for, he didn't get healed. So he said, you know, don't worry that it might not happen. A lot of times it won't. But, oh, buddy, second half of the book melted my heart, man. I had a little come to Jesus meeting and cried like a baby in the bathroom Saturday morning after reading just some of this stuff in the second half of the book. Serious, man, bald, mouth on my face. Oh, God, I love you so much. Awesome, a holy time in God. The second half is worth going through the first half for. There is such deep need out there, and there is such power available through Christ. Don't ever let the first half keep you from the second half. So what if this time nothing happens? What about the next person you pray for when it does? And how glorious that is. Don't ever let that thing stop you. You may not see the result today. You may go home and they get healed tonight. Praise God. I remember we were building a handicap ramp for at the house next door, and the preacher that was there helped me said, you know what? You would never know it. I almost could never use this leg. This leg used to be a bum leg. I couldn't use it. I could barely walk on it. I was in constant agonizing pain. And I was in a prayer meeting. I went forward. The guy invited people to come forward for prayer, and something was telling me to go. Holy Spirit was nudging me, urging me. He was nudging me to go. Nudging and urging. I had the nudge to go. So I went up there, the guy prayed for me, and nothing happened. So I turned around and started walking back to my seat, and about halfway down the aisle, suddenly I felt this warmth in my leg. Oh my goodness, and that thing got hotter and hotter and hotter, and the next thing I knew, the pain disappeared. But what if he didn't go? Or what if the guy never gave the invitation? Praise God. In this book, it tells a story. This woman is at the meeting. Randy Clark is up there and he's having this meeting and he gives an invitation to pray for people, and this woman is at this meeting. And this other woman goes forward that has Crohn's disease, and he prays for her and she gets healed. Pain goes away. God gloriously moves on her. And this woman who's watching that has a sister who has Crohn's disease, who is just in agonizing pain and just going through physical torment with this thing. And as she's watching this other woman get healed, she feels this warmth in her torso, this heat, this anointing from God of the Holy Spirit. And she gets convicted in her soul. You know what? God wants to heal my sister. If I can get my sister to come to this meeting, God's going to heal her. I believe it with all of my heart. Problem is, her sister has never gone to church and doesn't want to go to church and hates church and all that kind of stuff. But she called her mom, went to the payphone, some kind of phone, called her mom and said, you got to get sis over here. God wants to heal her of Crohn's disease. And Randy says the first miracle was that the woman came. Maybe she was just in a lot of pain that day. She came. And so she comes up there, and this woman brings her sister up to the front for the prayer line so she can get prayed for and healed. And Randy Clark is going down the prayer line just praying for people. And somehow in the commotion, he accidentally misses her and moves on down the line. And so this woman is, oh no, okay, God, that's okay. Just get the senior pastor to come and pray for her. Or maybe the associate pastor, or at least one of the elders. Just get somebody in here who's anointed by God who can pray for my sister. That I know you called her to be here. And this little teenage girl, 15 years old tops, just had gone through their ministry training class. Rookie, green, total green rookie, 15 years old, comes bounding up and says to her sister, can I pray for you? And this woman is thinking, no, not a teenager, not this, not, no, God, if not Randy, get the pastor or an elder, at least an elder. I'm going to be a fool because I drug her all the way out here and all we got is this 15-year-old girl bouncing up, can I pray for you? And this girl laid her hand on the woman's abdomen and prayed for her, and God healed this woman's Crohn's disease. used that girl mightily. In fact, Randy got a letter from them months later. The woman was well, doing great, had returned to work, and was absolutely clear of the disease. Wow. Wow. All of that to say this, God wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary works. He wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary works. You know why? Because that way God gets all the glory. We don't go around puffed up. Oh, yeah, man, I got the power. No, God is the power. It's not me. I'm a vessel. I'm a jar of clay. The glory and the treasure is God's. Yes, there's gifted, anointed people, but God can use Dennis and CJ and Jennifer and Leomar. Can use us in mighty ways. If we'll surrender our life to Him, get filled up with His power, and go out with the confidence that when you go, God is with you. God is with you. He's with you. He's with you. Honor that anointing. Amen? So next time you stand in front of the mirror, don't say, oh my gosh, another wrinkle. Say, praise God, there's the anointing of God. I'm going, God. Let me pray for somebody today.